Well, I used to really kind of dislike this time of year, Advent. Well, if not dislike, then at least find it difficult, certainly difficult to preach on. Because back when I was moving from a somewhat more conservative theological place to a liberal, progressive understanding of Scripture and of faith generally, I wasn't quite sure where to put the themes of Advent. I'd realized that for years, I hadn't really got into the whole concept of Jesus coming back. I'd seen it misused and misunderstood by the church over so many years as a kind of, it'll all be all right in the end, so put up with things, was one motif. Or as a better, you better get yourself right with God because Jesus could appear any time and send you off to the bad place. Or it's okay, and I've heard this, it's okay to hate people because Jesus will sort it all out in the end. The list goes on. I've heard variations on the theme. So I was uncomfortable with the Advent themes I effectively grew up with. And though I personally had left behind those understandings many years before, I still found it hard to wrap my head around what this whole apocalypse season was about and how we weave it into our observance of this season of Advent. Isn't this, I thought, a distraction? Preparing for an end to the world which will never come, at least not in the way that the church has often mythologized it. The whole second coming thing seemed to me to take away from Jesus' message of living faith right here and now, bringing justice right here and now, loving God right here and now, loving our neighbors and learning to love ourselves in the here and now. And then to add to my discomfort at this season, there's the common comment in biblical studies circles that Jesus was, and I quote, a failed eschatological prophet. Meaning that passages such as today from Luke's gospel show that Jesus expected an imminent parousia, one of those great Greek words. It just means nearness or arrival. It's often used to refer to the second coming. It does indeed, you only have to read today's gospel and many other parts of our gospels, seem clear that Jesus expected some great cataclysmic event to change the nature of reality in his lifetime. And if not in his own lifetime, then certainly in the lifetime of his followers. Verses such as Matthew 16:28 or Luke 9:27 or Mark 9:1, which is all a variation on the same theme, have Jesus saying something like, truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, or they see the coming of God's kingdom. And yet we know everyone who heard those words died. And yes, we can try and work ourselves into a kind of theological pretzel, trying to offer an interpretation where we tell ourselves, so maybe the real meaning of Jesus' words is that the kingdom of God, the reign of the divine, did indeed come in the presence and life of those first believers and in the sharing of the Holy Spirit that we celebrate in the beginnings of the Jesus movements that became the church. But that is a pretty tricky bit of mental gymnastics, to be honest, to get us out of the idea of the fact that Jesus may actually have been wrong. And it's the same with the promise that we had in today's reading from Jeremiah. The idea that a new Davidic line from the kingship of David would be established. A shoot will burst forth from the root of Jesse. A promise made to a people in exile, but a promise that never came true. There never was someone from the house of David that took over as king of Israel again. It's been shoehorned into a Christian theology to say that Jesus is the inheritor of the throne of David, but that is a much later interpretation of these texts. And honestly, it's a million miles away from the intention or understanding of the original author or authors. And many of us find it difficult to wrestle with this concept that Scripture, or indeed Jesus, may be wrong. For me, the reason for my own discomfort was that this was something that was obviously at the heart of what Jesus was preaching. And at the heart of how Jesus saw the world, this ending, this second coming, this parousia, this apocalypse, this revelation. And I had been brought up to believe that Jesus was perfect and that making a mistake meant he wasn't perfect. And so it simply couldn't be the case. But it was, and it is. The prophecies that Advent waves in front of us pertaining to Jesus are later additions and interpretations to offer substance to this way of thinking. The proclamations that Jesus makes about the end of the world do not come true, and probably will never come true. So with my long-winded and somewhat angsty introduction, perhaps the next question could be, so Alistair, how do you feel about Advent now? And my honest response, I love it. Now I'm free of that disturbing and distressing cognitive dissonance that I held on to for so long. I do not need a Jesus that holds infinite knowledge in his brain, because that would make him something other than human. I don't need to fit the Hebrew scriptures into a Christian worldview and make all of the pieces fit together in some kind of convoluted jigsaw puzzle and say that the Bible speaks with only one voice, because it's a nonsense to even begin there. What I will do this Advent time is consider how all of these stories, how these many different facets fit together and make a difference to our Christian journey today. Our scriptures are, I believe, much more concerned with how we live now than preparing for some great cosmic surprise with Jesus bursting through the clouds to scare the bejiggers out of us, for being such inadequate humans, of course. When Jeremiah talks of a time when justice and righteousness become the defining nature of God's people, it's a calling, it's a challenge for us to live into those values and work towards that righteousness here and now. We are called to be people of justice and righteousness. When Jesus talks of reading the signs, of knowing when the seasons show us that new life is coming through the buds and leaves of the trees, I believe it's something that we are being called repeatedly to consider, to ask the question of ourselves, of our world, of our church, where is the new life? What can we do to nurture that new life? And what do we have to prune in order that that new life may grow? One of the messages I think Jesus gives is, change is scary, but it's going to happen. That may not be the end of the world, which some eschatologists proclaim, but it might be the end of one world and the beginning of another. Ever since the pandemic, and even before that life-changing and church-changing event, members of our community have been saying that something is coming. Not necessarily the end of the world, not even a particularly well-defined thing, but an energy about our community, about our church, that seems to presage a new way of being. Perhaps it's the continued excellence and uplifting nature of our music ministry. Perhaps it's our burgeoning visual arts ministry and the creativity that comes from the artworks that will be a part of our Advent procession later, and of days such as our Five Women retreat yesterday. Perhaps it will be the wisdom, the passion, and commitment of colleagues who preach like John and Pam, and maybe me occasionally. Perhaps it will be our growing and ongoing ministry of social justice and the revival of that ministry, not just the care and the compassion shown by our food bank or by the hosting of a shelter for some of the most vulnerable on the streets, but the willingness and the passion to ask why such injustice continues. Perhaps it's the sometimes quiet, sometimes not, commitment of our community to compassion, to justice, to equity, to affirming all for who they are, to love, to grace, to hope, and even to struggle. Perhaps it's any and all of these things and more, which are signs of the age to come and a rejection of the age which is passing. Perhaps all of this is the advent, the arrival, the apocalypse, the revelation, and the parousia, the imminence for which we and the world are longing. Perhaps. May we have the discernment to know the Spirit's leading in this new age, this Advent tide. Amen.